Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxy, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke Bryan.
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that. You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Hello and welcome to a Tuesday edition of Dueling Tangents. Some tangents on a Tuesday with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke. He's Brian. We're thrilled to be here on the airwaves with you this fine afternoon. You may be listening across the Civic Media Network here in Madison on Devil Radio 92.7, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios, or where Brian's holding down the fort in Waukesha at the Shaw 101 FM WAUK 540 AM, that beast of the East. How you doing today, big guy?
You know what? I'm pretty awesome.
That's a pretty regular occurrence for you, being pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, feeling really awesome really also helps. And, you know, being twice as nice, getting the echo is pretty awesome. Feeling that. All right, cool. Here we are. We're back. Awesome.
We're back.
I'm really me.
It's that tracksuit. It was just the tracksuit Tuesday.
No, what's really messing with me is I'm living an alternate lifestyle. And I was just telling you about this on the other side of the, right before the break here. Or there was no break.
It was right before the open.
I'm completely discombobulated because
the
part of my
down
life.
Land.
Yeah. So, I'm a fan of video games, right? Mm-hmm. I like a lot of video games, and I like the long play, the in-depth. I like the strategy games. I'm a fan of the Total War series. That's really awesome. The History Channel uses their battle engine to simulate historical battles and stuff, because you can do, you know, really big formations and stuff like that that can handle a lot of stuff. It's really, really cool. And if you are a fan of strategy type of thing, it's really, really cool to be able to use your units in real time to have them move around. It's pretty cool. But I also realize that I need to live and I need to have a life. and there's other things going on around me, and that's a good thing, you know?
Yeah.
But I have to balance all that out. Well, you know, having a kid usually, you know, precludes me playing a lot of video games, and I usually limit a lot of my time to the end of the night. So a lot of times I get into these games years after they're done. So all of the cheat codes are in there. Not cheat codes, but all the
all the things you can look up the hard part. Yeah,
The stuff that would
the kinks are worked out of the system.
It's not necessarily the kinks. It's the stuff that I don't have a problem searching up and down in a dungeon, like every single inch of the wall and, you know, all that stuff, finding all the secrets and stuff.
Yeah.
But I literally don't have the time, and I love my family enough to go and cheat for them. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, I can understand that. See, yeah, and me as a teenager, I just wanted the cheats.
It was
cheat codes.
So basically, my daughter's 10, gonna be 11, and I've basically had almost a 10-year somewhat gap where I'm watching all of these amazing titles go by, mm-hmm. all of this really cool stuff go by that I'm not really engaged in. And I finally indulged, and I said, you know what, screw it. I've been wanting to play this for a while, and I got into Skyrim. And I'm at least half a decade behind on that game. But
I think that's a full decade. That one came out.
Decade.
Yeah,
I don't know time anymore.
That one came out while I was in college, and I had friends that fell down that hole and did not come back out.
It's really immersive.
Yeah,
it's really immersive, and it's not I just had a thing where I'm gonna go to this college in Winterhold. It's gonna be fantastic. I'm gonna go learn all the spells and everything, and it's gonna be great. And wait, how do I leave here? I just had to figure out how to go through cold and snow and ice and figure out how to get back to a different place. My point is that it's immersive, but it was almost getting to the point where I was feeling cold at the same time. It was immersive. It was and this is, again, I'm telling you, I'm making fun of myself, but it's also a decade old technology. It can only have gotten better since then.
Yeah.
My point is that this stuff is getting
more real. I've heard from and throughout college, my roommate was real big in video games. He was a big fan, very similar to you, liked the campaigns, liked the stories, liked the in-depth video game world.
Yeah, they're now making movies based on the wonderful scripts that are written for video games.
Yeah, and so I got to see it pretty firsthand, the immersiveness of some of these games, and sometimes you do need somebody there to pull you back out. See, for me, it was getting a dog essentially has prevented me from and spending a whole lot of time on a PlayStation 4 at all. I have a very nice PlayStation 4 that does not get really any use whatsoever, and I almost contemplated, you know, like signing up, pre-ordering the PlayStation 5, and then I like stopped myself and I was like, I don't need that. I don't. So the dog definitely keeps me going outside, doing things with him, and so therefore I'm not going to compare it to a child, but I can understand that when you have other things going on, the video
it's a built-in reality break.
Yeah,
you know, it's a built-in. Oh my goodness, yeah. I also need sustenance. It's not just my character in the game that needs to eat.
Crap, I'm hungry.
Because you have to make food in that game too. That's how in depth it is. I guess the point I'm making is that one of my technology is becoming very immersive.
Yeah,
and it's becoming very easy to. I don't know. Let's just say deep fakes are very, very close to being really well done.
Oh, yeah. Yesterday, Brian was in a full video game bender. He wasn't actually on the show. That was all AI.
Yeah,
it was
for sure.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, folks.
No, Brian was not on a video game. Honestly, this visual here is just a construct that Evan has put together. I'm literally chained in Evan's basement. I've come to the realization that it's really best just for my best. For all of our best.
Just buy into it.
It's fine. I've accepted my fate, and I know that my hands are in the hands of Evan, and he's good. He's fine. He's a nice guy. Totally nice. Please give me... I'd like a biscuit.
You're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I do have a point here.
Yes.
I do have a point here. So, again, science fiction, fantasy, that type of thing. A lot of times, you know, that also... Like, a lot of Michael Crichton books and things like that have driven technology, you know? And how things, what do we explore next? What's the new technology and what's the driving force? I read a book. One of my favorite books is Tad Williams' Otherland. It tells a story about how the richest people in the world make a second internet that is fueled by the minds of children. And because they're a really good complex computer that you can develop. but the thing is that it's immersive. You have to go into a... one of those isolation tanks where you're connected to the AI as
like
well,
and you an avatar,
this was written many years before Avatar, of course, and also before The Matrix, by the way. But it incorporates both of those type of things. My point is that at some point you can see, I can see people just choosing to live there instead. You know, I could see certain people. It's really easy to get down. My point is that it's my favorite book, and I think that's the book that Katie Porter was reading when she was sitting in Congress.
Do you think so? Because it was the subtle art of not giving a flying something. Yeah. And we get to talk about Katie Porter again today because she's making some news out in California, Brian. And to segue off to this tangent, Katie Porter announcing for the U.S. U.S. Senate seat in 2024. I was going to say congressional seat, but she is a member of Congress.
She's
reelected
Congress.
Last November in the midterm elections, and she's not waiting her turn, it sounds like, Brian, because we still don't know if Dianne Feinstein, the current U.S. Senator for California, one of the two, who is up for reelection in 2024, is going to seek another term. I believe she is 88 or 89 years old.
We're not entirely sure she's aware of her other term.
There's been some interesting stories.
Again, I don't say that to jest. I'm serious. She's not seemed all there, and that's a horrible thing to go through, and I don't wish that upon anyone. I don't want to go through the people that I've dealt with that have done that. It's a horrible thing, and I don't want to make too much light of it. My point is that she's not functioning.
No, she's had comments to reporters that would say they'd ask her one question and she would respond, and her staff would be like, "No, Senator, we've actually already put out a statement on this, and it's this." And yes. So there seems to be
indication. She's filed paperwork to indicate that she would be running for re-election. I believe last year, in recent months, she filed paperwork. She has not ruled out running for re-election in 2024. But Katie Porter,
I guess with Feinstein, I'd rather celebrate her wonderful career and the amazing advancements she's had, and pretty much she's been a lot of resistance that we've had in very off years. I don't want to take anything away from her, but I think it's definitely time for someone like Katie Porter to step in, and I don't think Katie Porter should wait, because that's my biggest thing that the Democrats have been doing, is waiting too long till the right time. So yes, please go.
Well, I believe I've iterated this point before on this show. This is not something that is new, but I believe that once you hit 80 and you're an octogenarian, just go and enjoy retirement. I'm not saying that there's not 80-year-olds out there that cannot represent individuals in the U.S. Senate, but there needs to be some generational passing of the torches here, because they're the leadership for both parties, Democrats and Republicans, in Congress, for presidential candidates, very elderly folks, Brian. And I truly believe that those don't necessarily... Like, you've got these calls now to ban TikTok on state devices here in Wisconsin, nationally. You've got the regulation that actually needs to come for these social media companies that have gone just unregulated for far too long. Facebook being able to purchase Instagram, the Elon Musk takeover of Twitter. There needs to be better regulation at the federal government, but we are represented by individuals that fundamentally do not understand. And I'm not saying all of them, but the generational divide there just generally does not understand the problems that we face with the 21st century. And hey, and I think Katie Porter would do an excellent job representing California in the Senate.
Do you remember who AOC replaced? Remember who AOC ran against?
I do. Yeah.
Joe Crowley.
Mm-hmm. Do you miss him?
Does anyone really miss him?
Do you miss Joe Crowley?
And that doesn't mean that that's not to say that he didn't do anything or that stuff wasn't working. My point is that leadership has been waiting for the right moment to do something different for a while, and they keep waiting for the right moment and waiting for the right moment. And there's just, after a while, you're kind of like, that moment's never coming. You got to go and do it now. So if you actually want to get some movement, get some things done, you know, get some movement on healthcare, get some movement on labor laws, you're going to want to go with people like Katie Porter, because she has some motivation and actually wants to do the work to make things happen.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We got a couple of other headlines we're going to get to, as well as Sean Fetterplace and Francesca Hong with Main Street Alliance coming up at 2:30. 844-967-2789. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke Mathers. He's Brian Kelly. You're listening to us across the state of Wisconsin, thanks to your local civic media radio station, wherever you are listening. If you want to learn more about what we're doing as a network, head over to the website, civicmedia.us, to learn more. Brian, we've got a pretty important state Supreme Court race coming up. And yesterday...
I've been told.
It's pretty important. 6 weeks from today,
it could swing the makeup of the entire court to a different ideology, or perhaps a more, I don't know, reality-based judicial.
Yes,
perspective.
One of the three.
Reality-based judicial perspective. That's what I'm coining it now.
During the 2020 election and subsequent after the 2020 election, as the former president, Donald Trump, was trying to litigate a case saying that this election was stolen from him, which like 60 different court cases around the country indicated it was not. It was the most litigated election in our history, and it was secure. It was a secure election in 2020. But one of the three Wisconsin Supreme Court justices that ruled to say, yeah, we'll take the case. We'll flip the votes here in Wisconsin and appease the former president. Pat Rogensack is retiring. It is her seat that she is vacating. She's not seeking re-election to another 10-year term. And so therefore, like you said, the ideological makeup.
I'm gonna get her a nice fruit basket. I'm gonna miss her.
Are you? Are you really?
What's her name again?
Exactly. But yesterday they had a forum hosted by WisPolitics, and all four of the candidates, two conservative-leaning candidates and two liberal-leaning candidates, were at this forum, and it's pretty interesting because if you don't subscribe to Pat Rogensack's Judicial View, the outgoing conservative Supreme Court justice for the Wisconsin Supreme Court, she has now indicated which justice she likes. So if you're not a fan of hers, you can kind of look elsewhere for who you'd like to support in the election. Because yesterday, Rogensack endorsed Jennifer Darrow, Judge Jennifer Darrow of Waukesha, in her bid to replace Rogensack on the state's highest court.
Having never met her in my life before, I can tell you 100% she's perfect.
Well, it's pretty interesting, Brian. Go ahead.
Listen, I'm the guy who doesn't really want to wear the jacket to the jacket and tie club. I'm just that guy. I'm not a formal guy. I don't really know that the rules are like, okay, you're just trying to exclude people and make yourself seem really hoity-toity and all these crap rules and all that stuff. But I do feel like there's some sort of unspoken, like, hey, you're an outgoing justice, maybe shut up about the next person coming in. Isn't that some sort of thing? I believe it's like, I don't know if it's jurisprudence, but maybe it's just prudence. Maybe it's just like just regular old common sense. Maybe you shouldn't talk about the people you want to fill your seat on the way out because of professional, I don't know, integrity, things like ethics.
I think the three conservative justices. Ethics and
integrity are not things that she has really highlighted in her career.
Three out of the four.
As a Supreme Court justice.
Three out of the four conservative-leaning justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court have indicated they don't really, they are partisan actors. They take up cases when they see fit, when they think it's going to help the Republican Party or conservative efforts here in the state of Wisconsin, and they're silent if they need to be silent. And
literally,
so
every single one of them ran on a, we can't have these left-wing activist judges, and then they turn around and become right-wing activist judges.
But the interesting part is Dan Kelly, former state Supreme Court justice, who served with Rogensack for 4 years.
Also a loser of one of these elections,
yeah.
And not also a great person.
Yeah. No, well, I'm not trying to give him praise or anything like that, but it's interesting to me, Brian, that Rogensack overlooked Kelly in her endorsement process.
It's very easy to overlook him. He's not very memorable at all.
I don't know. When you see that cape walking down State Street, it kind of sticks out. It is kind of memorable.
A cape?
Oh, yeah. Dan Kelly likes to wear a cape.
He's got a cape.
Yeah.
Got a cape.
Dan Kelly likes to wear a cape.
You can't run for office and have a Larry David.
Why not?
Larry David.
Why can't you run
David
for office
in Seinfeld?
Cape?
Larry David in Seinfeld, man. That was cut out like back in. You can't bring one. You don't bring that back. It does. It's not a broad. Like, why would you? It's not a functional thing. You wear, dude. Dan Kelly has a cape.
Yeah.
Why didn't we lead with that? We could have been doing this last like 20 minutes on Dan Kelly in a cape.
Scott Ross loves to point out that Dan Kelly wears his cape around the Capitol.
I wish to be taken as a serious human being, and that's why I have a cape on.
But this is the
not a cape on, which is different. That's a bird and somewhat delicious if you cook it right.
But this is just one more example of the Republicans and conservatives in disarray here in the state of Wisconsin, Brian, because yesterday at this WisPolitics forum, Dan Kelly was able to cite precedent, legal cases, everything like that. Jennifer Darrow was reading out of a binder. And
dude, I don't care.
This is Rogensack's comment on why she picked Darrow over Kelly.
She doesn't wear a cape?
She's a leader amongst judges in our state. She has repeatedly ruled in ways that show her knowledge of the law and a fair and even-handed treatment for all. Judge Darrow knows the proper role of a judge is to say what the law is, not what it ought to be.
It's to wear a full robe, not half of one, which is what a cape is. Listen, I'm with Rogensack on this one. Listen, all that stuff that she just wrote and all that's lip service, and who cares about that? Someone wrote it for her. She's not capable of figuring out that on her own. Point is that I'm with her on this one. You can't go with the dude with the cape. That's not right. But you can't do that.
Well, the voters last time Dan Kelly was on the ballot, because he was appointed to that seat in the first place, it was he never won election to it. He went up for his first time on the ballot as an incumbent justice, and the voters decisively said, no, we're not going
with
you.
Dude could cite definitive proof that gravity is now a law and not just a theory and link the two different quantum and different things together. But you know what? It'd still be freaking moot because the idiot wears a freaking cape around. You can't, like...
We're going to have a conversation with Main Street Alliance, Sean Fetteplace of the Main Street Alliance, as well as one of the Alliance's members, Francesca Hong, owner of Morris Ramen, and also a state representative. When we get back, this is Dueling Tangents.
I'm going to get you a nice fruit basket. I'm going to miss...
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. You're listening to this fine program across the Civic Media Network. If you want to learn more about what we're doing, follow the network on the socials. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Civic Media US. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. And we are now joined by Main Street Alliance representative Sean Fetteplace, as well as one of the Alliance's members, Francesca Hong. How are you both doing this Tuesday afternoon?
Splendid. How are you?
Doing well.
I'm doing well as well. Excited to be here.
Yeah, thank you both.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Yeah, we really appreciate you taking some time out of your Tuesday afternoons to be with us here on the program today. And it's been a little while since we've had you both on, so really appreciate. Hope the holiday period went well for you, and excited to hear about what you're both going to be up to in 2023. And on that note, Sean, if you want to tell us, I've seen a little bit online today circling around of what seems to be one of the big key items that Main Street Alliance is doing here in Wisconsin coming up next month. Can you tell us a little bit about what Main Street Alliance has been up to since we've last had you on and that event coming up in February?
Yeah, I'm excited to be here. So for those of you, your listeners who don't know, Main Street Alliance, we're a small business power building organization, and we're really working to help get better policy at the state level. And so we're going to be actually hosting a day of action February 13th at the Capitol. It's going to be one of the first opportunities we've had to bring our members, including folks like Francesca, who's been a great ally and partner in this fight as a small business owner, ran for office herself because of what she was seeing happening with small business. We're really going to be fighting for Badger Care expansion with a public option, paid family medical leave. I have to say, I'm experiencing a little bit of FOMO, fear of missing out from Minnesota, because they're literally going to pass paid leave there, it looks like, in the next month or two. And it's super exciting, but also just highlights how, Wisconsin's really being left behind in a lot of these important family supporting policies. Childcare is another issue that is a key concern, both from a provider standpoint, but also from a employer standpoint, having folks who have that flexibility. I was literally at a business earlier today on Monroe Street where a parent had their kid at the business with them while they're working because they couldn't find childcare today. And so that's a massive issue. And then just continue to make sure that we're investing in small business. And so, we, during the height of the pandemic, really focused on getting grant support and programs, and we'll continue to do that. We engaged heavily in the election to highlight small business issues. And now with the state budget coming up here soon, being proposed on February 15th by the governor, we're really working hard to highlight these issues and to get them supported in the legislature.
Fantastic. And Representative Hong, we've had you on before in your capacity as a state representative for the Isthmus here in Madison. But can you tell us a little bit about your involvement with Main Street Alliance and what your involvement looks like as a member participant?
I mean, I'm grateful to be a part of Main Street Alliance, mainly because sometimes being a state representative, things aren't as action oriented. And we know that small business owners across the state and folks who are working on Main Street are constantly in action. So what Main Street Alliance has been really great at doing is making these connections and making sure that folks in the alliance know that there are legislators like myself fighting for small business policies that really help to uplift communities and are policies that, there's vast, diverse support for. I think one of the most important things we've been doing this past couple of years has been to grow our membership. It's a diverse membership of folks from all different industries. And, you know, as a small business owner, it's difficult to get involved in policy advocacy because you're busy operating business. But what Main Street Alliance does is it provides tools for folks to get involved, whether it be testifying at a committee hearing or making sure that we as trusted members of the small business community are coming together to advocate for issues that our community cares about, that our employees care about. And you ask folks, you know, who do you trust in your community? And well, sometimes after family, pastor, or some sort of religious leader, it's the small business owners in the community. So coming together to make our voices heard, to know that we can have power and take action, it's been really great to know that and help share with other legislators that the work that happens in the building and out of the building has to be in line and in step. And Main Street Alliance provides us an opportunity to do that.
Now, Francesca, I want to ask you, Sean had mentioned a couple of things that Main Street Alliance is fighting for, you know, expanding Badger Care and, you know, competing with Minnesota for things like, you know, expanded child care, things like that. The regular people usually associate that with something that is a benefit for the worker only. Can you speak to how that benefits you as an employer, especially as a small business employer? Job creator, as it were.
Yeah. So as a small business owner, I can let you know, I can tell you that the most important part of running a small business is taking care of your employees. If you don't have employees, if you don't have healthy employees, if you don't have employees who want to be at your work, it's very difficult to operate a small business. And so making investments in the worker is bottom line good for small businesses. We have folks who aren't able to come in, and that creates additional problems for other folks when they can't find childcare. When there aren't good public schools and there isn't affordable housing available, finding folks who can come and who need these basic needs met in order to have a high quality job at a small business, it makes it more difficult. And so a lot of these issues that are worker focused are also very much in line with what small business owners need when it comes to investing in our workers so that we can either expand or make sure that our businesses are successful. I think worker success and business success, especially when it comes are in line when it comes to small businesses and specifically community-oriented small businesses.
And Sean, I have an organizing background, so I can appreciate the work you do organizing these members to come together and do things like a day of action. But that can be a kind of daunting sounding event for people that haven't been involved before. Maybe they're a small business owner that's been interested in getting connected and organizing with an organization like Main Street Alliance. Can you tell us a little bit about what is going to be happening in February with that day of action and how maybe somebody that's never been involved before can get involved for the first time?
Yeah. And so there are folks that are super experienced, folks who are new. I mean, one of the things I always find really gratifying is seeing, you know, folks who've been very active in advocacy and power building, and then folks who are completely new to it, really coming together to build power and to be able to make change. And so, you know, we're going to be meeting at Garver Feed Mill. Garver Events is a member of MSA, and they did receive some state support during the pandemic since they're an event space to help recover. And so it's a good metaphor for a lot of the work that we've done over the course of time, including both Francesca. We have 1,100 members of our leadership team and now over 1,200 members across the state who are really working to build Power What's Together. And so we're going to be there from 10 to 1. You know, there's going to be a few speakers. It's going to be helping prep folks to talk to these issues from an authentic way, to tell their own story about why better access to healthcare, childcare, paid leave would make an impact on their business, their employees, and their communities. And in the lead up to that, we're actually hosting 10 house meetings all across the state, including one this Friday in Mount Horeb with Kyle LaFond, who is the founder of American Provenance. It's a like deodorant and company, light manufacturer over there. And we're gonna be doing similar events all across the state to help prep folks so that if people are not as experienced doing this kind of stuff, like there's that extra layer of support for them to be able to do so. So if folks listening to this are small business owners slash friends, people who work with small business owners directly, and they want to get active and come to this, they can go to mainstreetalliance.org and click take action. And you can find both the house meetings, but also the day of action information right there. And it's a good way, you know, we'll make sure to prep you, make sure you have the resources you need, connect with other local small business owners, and help you make sure your voice is heard.
Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. We are joined by Sean Fetterplace of Main Street Alliance, as well as a member of Main Street Alliance, State Representative Francesca Hong, owner of Morris Ramen, which I'm going to put a shameless plug out there right now. Folks, it is ramen season right now, and there is no better place to go get a bowl of ramen than Morris Ramen. The cocktails are delicious, too, to go along with the bowl, so I highly recommend it. And I honestly can't go up to the Capitol too often, Francesca, because I am tempted to stop and get a takeout bowl more often than I think my budget would like me to. So thank you for the excellent work that Morris Ramen does and the excellent work that Morris Ramen and Main Street Alliance and small business owners around the state are doing to advocate for these proposals. We do have this new session beginning here. Last week was the inaugural for Governor Evers' second term. It seems like there's going to be a lot of what we've seen over the first term of Governor Evers, kind of a little bit of stalemate when it comes to the Republican-led legislature and the Democratic-led governor's office deciding how to advance policy proposals here in the state of Wisconsin with divided government. Sean, can you talk to us a little bit about Main Street Alliance's goals and strategies to take in an era of divided government for Wisconsin?
Yeah, so I would say our organization over the past year has really reset our strategy, led by Shonda Causer, who's our executive director, to really do power building specifically with small business owners and to ensure that elected officials on both sides, Republican, Democrat, some cases independent, that they are hearing from folks back in their district about issues that they care about. And to do so from the framework of talking about it from a small business perspective. So just as an example, Badger Care expansion. There are a lot of folks who don't start small businesses because they need health insurance and they're worried about getting access to it currently. There are folks who stay in a 9-to-5 and maybe do the small business on the side, and it's very stressful to be able to do that. You have folks where a spouse stays in a job to be able to provide health insurance for the family. There's a lot of really weird sets of incentives that happen because we have not expanded Medicaid in the state. And so what we're going to do, you know, I mean, there's deep blue seats like Representative Francesca's Hong is, but there's also deep red seats in the North Woods, in the western part of the state, in the northeastern part of the state. And we're going to be talking to those lawmakers. We're going to be bringing people in from those areas, from the suburbs, from the exurbs, from the rural parts of Wisconsin. And we've really invested heavily in rural organizing all throughout the state. And so for us, I think that, you know, last time we went up to the Capitol and testified at the beginning of the last session, we were very new to Wisconsin. And at that time, we had 30 members, a very mighty 30, but it was still 30. Going up there with 1,200 folks who have our back all across the state now is going to be a way to demonstrate, you know, we're here, we're not going away. And small business owners want to make sure that we have a policy, agenda in our state that really reflects those Main Street values as opposed to, you know, sort of pro-corporate policies that have largely been supported in the past.
Yeah, as a follow-up to that, you kind of covered a lot of what I wanted to get to, but it, as someone who wants to start a business myself, I have some really great ideas, but what stops me is, oh my God, the paperwork. Oh my God, I have to have a lawyer. Oh God, I have to have this. You now have gone up to 1,800 members, and I can assure you there's more people than just myself that are like, I think it'd be great. What other obstacles do you see that are in place for people that are, I mean, beyond just, you know, Badger Care expansion, things like that?
Yeah, I would say that it can be daunting to start a small business. There is a lot of support out there. There's the small business development centers. A lot of the diverse business chambers got about $80 million. They're going to be able to provide technical assistance to folks across the state. But there's more work to do. I'm personally very, and we as an organization are very excited that the Black Business Hub is being built on the south side of Madison with Urban League and many other great local folks. And that's going to provide a space for Black entrepreneurs to be able to get the capital access and the support and the technical training and, you know, really the resources they need. Because I heard this statistic not that long ago, and it just absolutely blew my mind. There are 10,000 small businesses, like brick and mortar small businesses in Dane County. Do you want to know how many of them are black owned?
I would assume a shamefully low number.
40.
Yeah.
And so there's a lot of work to do to reduce barriers for folks, both to enter entrepreneurship, to be able to stay entrepreneurs, and to really have that support network in place. That's a good example of something that can be done in a very practical way to bring those resources to where folks are at. But it's also important to have policies in general that help to make it easier for folks to start, run, and maintain their small businesses.
Absolutely. Folks, you are listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, joined by Sean Fataplace of Main Street Alliance and State Representative Francesca Hong, a member of the Alliance. We're going to take a quick break, but continue the conversation on the other side. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I'm Luke, he's Brian. We are joined on this Tuesday afternoon by Sean Fataplace of Main Street Alliance and State Representative Francesca Hong. And we're having a conversation about the small business engagement coming up here in Wisconsin, a day of action going to be held in February. But there's a variety of other things that Main Street Alliance is doing as well besides the upcoming day of action. Brian talked about the hurdles of starting a small business, but it's very important, like, as you touched on, Sean, as well, small business leaders, and I believe, Francesca, you touched on it, small business owners are leaders in our community, and it takes leaders in our community to be able to advocate for the communities that they come from, and I think we saw an excellent example of this throughout the COVID-19 pandemic. We saw community leaders stepping up in all different types of way, and running for office is one of those examples. And that, State Representative, is something that you have gone through. Can you tell us a little bit more about that process and how Main Street Alliance and advocating for small businesses has gotten and led to where you are today?
Yeah, I'm very fortunate to be a small business owner, especially in an industry that I love, which is the service industry. And so it actually makes a lot of sense when you have trusted community leaders who have built-in relationships in the community advocating for the narrative of the community, right? Who small business leaders are across our state. We are moms, we are dads, we are parents, we are grandparents, we are different community leaders. And it's time that we take back the narrative of how we want to run our business to help our community. And so a lot of that, you know, motivated me to run for office because I felt as though my values were not being represented in the Capitol by those who claim to be pro-business. And as someone who is pro-community, I can also be pro-business by advocating for workers and saying that my bottom line is really based on the investment that I make in workers and help the workforce. So it's about taking back the narrative for who small business owners are, what our values are, and how we want those values to be reflected in our policies, like expanding childcare, like fighting for public schools, having better capital access to different business owners. Because in the end, no matter what some of the opposition might say, we don't have a very healthy business atmosphere because it's hard for us to maintain healthy workers and help our workers if they're not able to find adequate childcare, if they don't have good access to healthcare, and if they don't have great schools to send their kids or housing to be able to, and good housing to be able to afford. And have our basic needs met. So I think it's a lot of it is about taking back that narrative and making sure that these trusted small business owners are represented both in the Capitol and know how to represent their communities well too.
Yeah, the old adage of let's have a business leader run the government. We need someone in business to run the government. And a lot of times that person ends up being on the macro corporate level and has been so far removed from the day-to-day operations of an actual local community or even any sort of localized community whatsoever, it's hard to go and have that perspective. Not necessarily saying that the macro corporate person is by definition evil or wrong. It's just harder to go and get the right perspective, especially when you're talking about things that affect a localized community. So in fostering this type of thing and getting business people to become leaders, Sean, how does Main Street Alliance kind of foster that and build that to having great leaders like Francesca Hong?
Yeah, so I would say, first off, she ran before we ever got connected. So I think it was a good indication, though, to us about, you know, there's many different ways for folks to be involved as small business owners. As she said earlier in the interview, you know, they're, small business owners are amongst the most trusted folks. They have networks. They have, you know, knowledge and experience in the community. And so, you know, we've worked really hard to help folks be able to utilize their voice with elected officials at the federal, local, state level. But, you know, there are a number of different ways that folks can use that voice. So we have the Day of Action in February. In March, we're going to have an organizing training for our top leaders that we're just locking in right now in Washington, D.C. There's going to be a May Small Business Month, which Representative Hong was at with us last year, where, you know, we're going to have 50 folks come in and meet with their lawmakers to make sure that they hear from the federal level what's needed, especially with the new Senate and with the new House. And the dynamics around that. And then July, we're really excited that we are going to be doing a candidate training. So for folks who are interested in running for office, for folks who really are excited about the opportunity to do that, but just don't know how, you know, we have a lot of really great experienced staff at MSA. We have great experienced folks who've done that before, who are involved in the organization. And we're going to help to equip folks with the ability to run for office in 2024, should they choose to do that. You know, we have a number of members who ran this last time. You know, Ryan Clancy, who's just been elected in Milwaukee. Melissa Ratcliffe's a big supporter. There's a lot of really great folks that ran that won, but there are also folks like Kristen Alfheim, who's a small business owner up in Appleton, Leah Spicer over in Spring Green, and those folks have gotten pretty active with us and will continue to do so. So for us, you don't have to run for office to make an impact. There's a lot of different ways to do that, including the Day of Action. But, you know, it is a way for folks who are interested in doing it, but have this set of unique circumstances as a small business owner. We want to make sure that they have the tools to do that. So again, for folks who are listening to this, if you are interested in getting more involved, you can go to mainstreetalliance.org, sign up, become a member, and you can also sign up for the Day of Action, which is right here in the lovely city of Madison in Francesca's district, on February 13th.
Fantastic. And one more time, the website, mainstreetalliance.org.
Mainstreetalliance.org.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Sean. We really appreciate both you and State Representative Francesca Hong for taking out the time of your afternoons to join us here on the airwaves. We really appreciate the work that you're doing as well for small businesses and the communities across Wisconsin that make Wisconsin, Wisconsin. Sean, I have a feeling I'm going to be having a little bit of that FOMO as well for Minnesota, getting to see all of the cool things that the state of Minnesota will be able to do, but thrilled to be able to keep an eye on you and Main Street Alliance and everything that all of the hard work will lead up to here in Wisconsin too. So appreciate both of you joining us this Tuesday afternoon.
And I'll be breaking something in Madison, probably, so that I have to come out there tomorrow. I'm going to have to get a bowl of ramen. I've now decided
there
that.
There we go.
It's making me hungry.
I'll wait another minute till the show is done, and then I will break something that I can only fix when I get there. Something super easy.
There you go. Yeah, I'll just unplug one thing and I won't tell anybody else, Brian. Folks, you've been listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you missed any portion of this show, go over to the website, check us out. You can click on Dueling Tangents, see all of the past shows as well as this one. You can check us out on Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, wherever your podcasts are found. Thank you again one final time, Sean and Francesca, for joining us. And tomorrow we're going to be joined talking about a little sewer socialism, possibly, with Ryan Clancy being elected to the state house. William Walter going to be joining me from Our Wisconsin Revolution on a Wednesday with William. Coming up tomorrow at 2 p.m. Looking forward to that. And Brian, we're going to have that big bowl of ramen waiting for you tomorrow afternoon. Then
yeah. And happy birthday, Ryan Clancy, yesterday. So hooray for everybody.
All right. This has been Dueling Tangents. We got Matt Flynn Direct coming up next, as well as the Matt McNeil Show in Amory. Stay tuned. We'll be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to y'all then.